Do you follow my principle? So ahead of time, God has kept people, I mean, God has chosen your inheritance, but he has kept people there, occupying it until you come. But there's one thing. Before you step in, other gods must go. Absolutely. That is trusting in flesh, trusting in mankind. This is what I want to just drum in. Using worldly principle to get godly results cannot work. You know, look, people have told me all kinds of things. Like one day somebody was counseling me about how to sustain our radio program. Now, he meant well. It wasn't, I told you about it. Okay. I just explained that. Look, I listened very carefully. Listen, it meant very well. He meant well, and the principles, they sounded very, very good. Except for one thing. I said, I am not going to try to sustain it. If it cannot be sustained, and look, the practical thing about God sustaining such things, the practical thing is that he normally sends people to give money into it. You understand my point? So it may sound like, if you cut it like this, you do this and do that, you'll be able to, money will just come from it. I said, no. If free will offerings don't come enough to keep it on air, then it will go off air. Are you getting my point? You're following my principle? That they were, look, listen, because those other ones are sowing into the flesh. You know, in my alumni fellowship, something happened some time ago. We were thinking about building like a resort center, you know, So there was something I said, because amongst the ways by which we raise the money and all that, okay, like let guys invest in, like in the business, then a portion of it is dedicated to the fellowship. So the profit from the business, a portion will be going to the fellowship. I said it doesn't work like that. That you can never sustain a fellowship, a church, by proceeds from business. It doesn't work. If you do, you build another fossilized institution. You can call it a church as a name, but it's, the power of God is no longer moving there. I said, do you know why? That every time people give money to things, they are pouring their spirit into it. And that is what actually sustains, not the cash. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is not the money. It is the spirit they are pouring into it every time they drop their money into the place. Do you get the principle? Now, what I'm trying to bring out something here. I was careful not to try and sustain a spiritual thing by a fleshly method. And it will sound good. And look, you see, there was something my pastor said those days when we were in Lagos. He said that you are not righteous enough to learn these things until you have passed through certain experiences. And that's what we were saying last time. That's what God does. In the period in which he's getting you ready, you will go through experience that keep on teaching you things every time. I told you, I was telling a story at that time of how I learned that, look, kingdom word, you know, I don't care how Americans do it. That's a dedication I have made to God. I write books, 5 cobble of royalties I don't take. They are kingdom word property. Do you understand the point I mean? That is the copyright. If you sell the books and say royalties to the author, drop it in kingdom word purse. I do not want a dime. I have come to understand that. I preach for free. I know Americans, you know, I'm sorry, if you are listening to this and you're an American preacher, maybe you should learn a lesson from here. You are backsliding in this area, so let me correct you. If you watch American TV, now the way they raise money, I'm sorry, let me just say this one, I'll be dogmatic about it. It is far short of God's glory. Most of them. American TV. The other day I was watching TV. They have become professors of arithmetic. I don't want to say mathematics. 7 is a number of completion. So when you have 7 and 7, that's a number of double completion or double fortification. So if you want a double completed breakthrough, send $77. You must be... Don't let me out. And on the same station, a few days before, I had been watching somebody saying that 58 is the total number of blessings in the Bible. So if you want the breakthrough of that total number of blessings, send $58. Are you mad? The next another person came with 77. I said, one somebody will come with 25 one day. And said, 2 is the number of, what is it now? Oh, God bless you. 2 is the number of the 2 loaves and 5 is the number of the fish. Send $25 and fish and bread will never depart from your house. What kinds of stories? Unfortunately, do you know, they begin to teach us things in Bible schools. That you have to make money for ministry. I've said it simply. I've read the scriptures. Go and read the way Jesus Christ's ministry was sustained. There were people who freely of their own accord gave to the ministry. I have told, look, There are times, let me tell you this honestly. Look, this is how I handle it. As a family, I give monthly, because I'm a salaried worker for now. I give monthly to Kingdom World Ministries. There are times that Kingdom World needs money. You understand my point? And, you know, I know if I was the one that personally needed it. Now, listen to this. Now, this is a bit difficult to explain, but just try. Stay with me, all right? I know I could raise the money. Do you get my point? But I said, God, I'm not running this as my personal business, so I won't try. How much am I willing to give towards this project? This is it. I give my own portion. So God, send people to give the rest. Do you understand my point? Listen, it is not as if I'm saying that I can't completely. I have done it before. First time we paid for this place, I paid almost 500,000 a room personally. It was my offering to the ministry. First time. No, more than that, by the time we finished putting everything together, I virtually gave all the money. But he said, I said, God, I'm not going to continue like that. Not because I'm afraid to give God money. That's not the point. There was a time God said, look, well, that I believe was God speaking. I got some money, you know, plenty of it. I just remember that I think the Lord has need of it. She said, fine. Instead of giving everything to Kingdom, why didn't I shared it, gave Kingdom his portion, sent another portion to one man of God that has been a blessing to me somewhere else, and took it. No, I just spread the money around. I said, listen, I am not going to run this as it's my personal dream, because it is, for me, it's very critical that God shows his hand all the time. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. If I can't pay this, look, I close it. I come to my garage. If you can't come to my garage, don't come to listen to me. No, it's true. I will not, God forbid, I intend to live long. Elihu said, I will not flatter any man, lest my maker takes me away. I will never do it. And I see people go and hire mercenary preachers to raise money. One day, one man came to town. I just told my friend Mike, let's go and listen whether he has repented. After the first day, we said, this man has not repented. So we left. Now, I'm not going to get the point across here. That you see, you have to renounce. Look, Paul said it like this. He said, we have renounced those things of dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully. Listen, if you want God to step into his inheritance, the one that he has chosen for you, first thing you have to do is to renounce all these secret things of dishonesty, giving half testimonies, because you can't tell the whole story. You're believing God for a job. None of your uncles rested. You know that. Say, praise the Lord. Why are you praising? You should say, praise the Lord and my uncles. Listen, there's no iniquity. There's no sin absolutely in it yet. Like I told at the beginning, when God loves Jacob, he allows Jacob to make his mistakes. And he will face Jacob and train Jacob. The worst thing is when you refuse to take correction. That one is the one that his destruction will come, Bible says, without remedy. He that is often reproved and does not listen. That is why sometimes I don't want to hear about Satan. Because when God is rebuking people, they say it is the devil. Do you know, there are things I tell myself that, God, I don't want to talk about these things anymore. Because, you know, in life, I have seen people that made mistakes. They were doing things wrongly. And interestingly enough, God is not even deceiving them. What I mean by deceiving them, there are times that you are doing things wrongly and God is allowing you to do it wrongly. That is deception. That is, you are being deceived. God allows you to be confused. But this one, he's doing it wrongly and God is putting obstruction. That you are doing, remember we talked about the death of Uzzah. Every time you do, God puts, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. At the end of the day, people call you and say, what you are doing is wrong. And you start fighting them. You know, God's patience is long, but it's not eternally long. He gets the time, you just say, And I say, listen, at the end of the time, you see such people make a shipwreck of everything. Sometimes when I told you before that I've had people, friends, tell me that as if I'm too laid back. And I know the reason why I'm laid back in what I'm doing. I'm not jumping a step ahead of God. No, I am not going to. Because I have seen people do those kind of things, you know, like try to be forceful about ministry, be aggressive. I see all the frustration that comes with it. Eventually, they go back to where we are and realize that except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds it. Do you get what I'm going to say? And that's what we are talking about, the God of Jacob. That what he's doing is to remove other gods, strange gods, gods that came recently from the life of Jacob, so that he can plant him in his inheritance. Do you follow my point? Therefore, somebody who is walking in the expectation of the manifestation of God's glory in his life, what he's doing every time is learning to get away from other gods. You get my point? Like I told you, God is doing his training. God is doing his training. You know what he's doing. You are not this Holy Spirit in anybody. In fact, this guy called it, Oswald Chambers, my good guy. He said, you cannot play amateur providence in anybody's life. What I'm trying to say is this. In each person's life, God knows how he's dealing with you. He knows how he's teaching you things. But one thing you must do, which applies to everybody, is that you must always attend to God's word. He said, quicken me according to your word. That's what David said. When my face is buried in the dust, he said, quicken me according to your word. You know one thing I noticed about these dealings of God? I think there must be something about this God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Because, you know, something came to my mind. I was looking at the temptations of Jesus Christ. I noticed, now again, this is just my own perception of it. It might not be absolutely accurate. But it appeared to me, so if you read from Matthew's account, it's as if that's what the temptations were centered around, those things. Number one, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to what? Bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is, man shall live by what? Faith. Are you getting my point? That to me was like testing whether he has come to know the God of Abraham. Are you getting my point? The next one, if you read Matthew's account, the next one was that, okay, jump down. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The fear of Isaac. Do you understand my point? You want me to tempt God? Sure, I will. Take your time seriously. The third one, he said, bow and worship me. He said, no other gods. You understand my point? That is my perception of it. Only him will you serve. It is after that the man steps into his inheritance. Because that is him. Look, one thing God, you know, there was one thing I found out. God told the children of Israel once that, before these things happen, I will tell you ahead of time. Said, do you know the only reason why I'm telling you? Said, because you are very stubborn. If I don't tell you now, when it happens, you say it is my gods that did it. So, we are saying that a man, a woman who is walking in the expectation of the glory of God, what he or she is doing at all times, therefore, is cooperating with God to shed away the influences of other gods. I mean, you've heard me teach a lot. What was it on radio? We're talking about that, Kingsley. About this or that. We didn't use these words, but we're talking about idols. Yes. Thank you. So the same thing we're talking about there. Idols was on our radio broadcast. What was the topic then? Walking in the will of God. Thank you. So we explained that then. Then in those radio broadcasts, I discussed them extensively. That what do you call idols? Other gods. If I don't go to America, I will not prosper. If I don't get a job here, I will not prosper. If I don't know this man, that is a problem. You know, something happened the other day that I preach about this thing so much, but I don't encounter people who say it much anymore. You get my point. So I didn't even realize how real it was. I went to the shop of the person that maintains our generator for us. So it was I came back to pick it up. I was going back home. So the lady that works in the shop, she said, she asked me which direction I was going, whether I could give her a lift. It was getting late and it was a rainy day. So I said, well, it turned out I was not going her direction. She said she was going the opposite direction. And I just remarked that, that's the way I'm coming from. That's where I go to when I'm going to work in the morning. That she lives somewhere near the prisons there. All right? I work in UNTH. She said, you work in UNTH? How come I didn't know before now? I said, what's the problem? He said, they are interviewing people for a job. I didn't apply because I didn't know anybody. He said, if I knew you, she would have come to apply. I said, you didn't apply at all. She said, no, she did not apply at all. Why? She said, because she knew nobody. You've even applied first, may they refuse you now. Now that you didn't apply, even God can't help you at this point in time because you have not even taken the first step. Then they don't know me that people really do things like this. Because I know safe now me. I will put my application, I'll throw it inside. And every day I'll be walking around the premises and declaring to the gates. Lift up your head, all you gates, and be lifted up. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? No, look, that's what I would have been doing. You understand my point? I said, so you didn't apply. That is other gods. that this young woman won't take any step in life until all the other gods are cooperating. You know what God is trying to do to his children? To remove that mentality. And let me tell you this. And this is one thing I have learned. I am not one to ever blame any human being for my troubles. I wasn't born like that. I was trained like that. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You get my point. Things happen every time. The other day I was in the traffic, and a bike man wrecked my tire. You know, bike man go in a jam your bumper, jam your door. Jam. This one was my tire. You don't get what I'm trying to say. Tire of the moto. It's, I should show it to you. Like, I won't bore you with the story of how it happened. And the man came and said, I know what comes to my mind instantly. I said, dear Lord, so what do you like in this my tire now that you are taking that as a sacrifice? No, that's the kind of thing that comes to my mind first. No, I'm telling you the truth. I don't think about the man instantly. I go on the surface. I was raking. This man, you will spoil my tire. You will pay. Turned to be a very nice guy. The man was like, hey, this morning, it was around 8:30. I was going to work in the morning. Like, hey. So guy, come, let us jack it first. Do you have a spare? Brother, the spare. You know, what I wanted to do was to stand and watch him suffer jacking the tire. But of course, I couldn't do that. So, okay, hold that side. Two of us changed the tire because we had blocked, for the traffic was totally blocked before. We now hyper blocked it further. So then the man asked, okay, what do you go do now? What do you go do? You are going to buy me a new tire. I said, meanwhile, this one is old, so go and buy me a Tokumbo tire. So in my mind, all I was saying is that, nah, relax. Nobody will spoil my tire. Between the Lord and I, we'll settle this matter after. So he said, okay, I'm going to come up for here now. Let's go and stop in front and discuss. I said, yes, we're going to discuss it. I moved the car, went up front, just to check whether the guy will actually come. Actually, the guy was a nice fellow. He actually rode his bike, coming and meet me to settle this. So as soon as he approached me, I just told him, go. My own is like, God, you know how much it costs tire to bring tire? Better bring my money now so I can go and buy another tire. This is my tire. It's wrecked now. Who am I telling the story? I am one person that will, look, I can't, a human being is the source of my troubles. It's not possible. Who is he? Is he not a human being with breath in his nostrils? He's not the source of my troubles. It's not possible. If you read this portion of the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, where we're reading, if you read further down, God told them that when he has a problem with them, when they kicked, when they went after other gods, he said one of the things you will notice is that, let me see whether I can quickly get there. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said, how will one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Verse 29. He said, would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. Notice verse 30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Do you get the point? That is, if God didn't give them up, nobody was strong enough to handle them. So how much more? Only one person is chasing 10,000 of them. 1,000 of them. He said, it is not the enemy that is strong. It is their relationship with God that has become weak. Like you've heard me say before, that the strength of your enemy is dependent upon the weakness of your relationship with God. That's all. No, for me, human, you've heard me say this again and again, come on. You narrowly miss this. I have never felt bad about it. If I try to feel bad, quickly, the Spirit of God checks me. What's wrong with you? Say, my blessing does not go to anybody else's house. It does not happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. Why? Because I serve the God of Jacob. And he said, when the Lord was leading him, there was no strange God, no foreign God with him. No human being was making him. No human being was leading him. No human being was helping him prosper. Do you get the point? That only God was there. So if the thing didn't happen, that means God didn't let it happen. That's how I rest my case. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? And that's one thing Christians must understand. This God of Jacob, because you see, That is the main problem God has with mankind. I told you, in the story of the history of Israel, you will see every time they lost their inheritance was because of other gods. Every time they went into captivity, it was other gods. Every time they were taken, they were oppressed by their neighbors, it was other gods. As long as they focused on the God who could make them, the God who gave them the inheritance, nobody was strong enough for them to take care of them. Nobody. Nobody could overcome them in battle. Nobody could displace them from their land. When armies will gather together, God will say, just go there singing. And they will say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And the people will just be falling upon themselves, killing themselves and fighting and killing themselves. Why? Because at that point, there was no strange God. Remember the story of Balaam? Balaam said, there is no enchantment that can work here. Because I hear this prayer point every time. Now we are going to face all the altars that are raised up against you. I said, you have time. No, you have time. People do all night prayer point because of white wizard, witches. You should listen to our next radio broadcast, this Monday's or the following one, which I explain that the witches that are doing incantation against you are inside your heart. It is your evil works and your lack of faith in God. That is a witch that is wrecking your business. People will be praying. Oh, I say, look, listen, my enemies, that is Banky's enemies, are perpetually frustrated. So God doesn't waste my time with seeing their faces or praying against them. If enemy do me something bad and it didn't work, I have no problem with him. I say, God, what did happen? Where did the angels go? You withdrew them? Okay, what did happen here? If you say, it is because you know, that there's nothing wrong, that Satan is just trying you, then, spiritually, I firm up. I remember one time, that was when I was in Lagos. One house officer then, I was a resident. He looked at me like, this old guy must be, something's wrong with him. I was ill, so I didn't come to work for a few days. Later, he now saw me. So he said, Chief, how are you doing now? I said, I'm fine. He said, so what did you take? He said, it was malaria. I said, I didn't take anything. He said, like, what? I didn't know what I said. I explained to him. I said, no, what happened that time was that I was not really ill. I said it was a weakness of spirit, so I needed to strengthen my spirit again, and then I would be fine. Then he looked at me like, what's wrong with this Guru Maharaj? No, I had uttered that statement before I realized that the guy didn't understand what I was saying. And I meant it, because then, if I tell you the kind of things that were around, actually, I tried to take medicine, but something went wrong with all the ones I tried to do. I don't know, something would just go wrong. So after that, I threw them away that something, this is not going to work. So I just laid down for days. I just wake up in the morning, just pick my Bible, read, meditate, just throughout the day. Most of the time, I listen to a message, I meditate on the word, pray, just give thanks. I hardly went anywhere. So after a few days, I was now strong, and I went back to work. So that's when I told the guy, and he thought I was one guru. So, he just looked at me and shook his head and left. Now, if you understand, he was a house officer, and I was a resident. So I'm sure if I was his mate, you will have had one or two words for me. But I say I'll be chief now. The guy just looked at me, just shook his head, turned his, and continued what he was doing. You're getting my point. Now, that's my attitude to life. That's my attitude towards everything. There are times, things that there are stories I've told you before that I refuse to put on record. Now, people think that they are ganging up, to deny me of something. I say, me? You don't understand. Me. What is mine? 100,000 people cannot gang up enough to take it. It's not possible. Do you get my point? It is not possible. If they take it, it's not mine. Are you getting my point? If they manage, it's not mine. It's not mine. And get my point. I don't feel anything about what I'm saying. I'm not feeling righteous and holy by saying the statement. You get my point. I don't even feel like I'm pleasing God by making that statement. I'm just saying, telling you what I firmly believe. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm dealing with this matter of strange gods. Until children of God understand this principle, that they cannot put their faith in mankind, then they are not ready to step into their inheritance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? And like I was saying, what God does is to, through experiences, emphasize this point in people's lives. Remember we talked about Jacob? I said God was very patient with Jacob. Very, very patient. It took years, but he learned the lesson. There was something Kenneth Hagin said once. I just remembered it now, but I have the tape. He was prophesying, actually. And he said that He has taken many years. He said the word was for somebody or a few people there. And God was telling them that it has taken a while, but I have just about gotten you ready. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And that is the principle of what we are talking about. That God takes you through the life of Abraham. I didn't say much about that, but we're talking about the matter of faith, the fear of God. We have messages on that matter, the fear of God. But that there is something about the life of Jacob, which God, with true experiences, will win you from. I've seen people that after they spend their whole life chasing American visa, they came to understand that God is not an American. God could have told them that in a few words. There are times I'm discussing with my wife about something. I say, look, this thing this person is doing, this is not the appropriate way to do it. I say, but I cannot tell him. I cannot tell her. I say, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to relax. It's not my business, really. Apart from pray for the person, there's not much I can do. I say, but experiences. Because if a man loves God, listen to me. If a man's heart, a woman's heart is after God, God is extremely patient. And God is extremely kind to that person. You may not think that God is doing the person good, in quote, but he is. What he's saying is that I won't let your wrong mentality succeed. No. So God will withstand him. Withstand that lady, withstand that man for a long time. But one day, you will budge. Because there are different things that make you budge. Either you surrender to God or you get tired and you fall. You understand? Whichever way, God will conquer you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Whichever way, God will win. But the underlying thing is that there is a heart that is after God. God will never do that with Esau. You get my point? Esau was a godless man. God wouldn't do that with him. So you see, Christians struggle. Let me tell you something. It doesn't mean the man doesn't have faith. I've told you before. Faith is not, the material possessions with you is not at all a reflection of the degree of your faith. Don't let anybody fool you with that. You can pray for a car and not get it. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can ask, people say, God does not ever say no. I say, which Bible do you read? Because if we settle down here, this particular Bible that I read, I can show you many instances in which he said no. He told Paul no. I'm talking about serious prayer people, not Jekwede, people who are just starting. He told Moses no. Do you understand my point? People like to quote all the ones in which he said yes. You want us to sit down and see the ones in which he said no? And another thing you have to understand, because one of the things about people is that they don't read stories globally. And one of the things you have to understand is that the dealings of God with human beings are often very, very personal. You know, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin today. I was How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And it got me meditating again, because we learned faith from Kenneth Hagin a lot when we were in school, and we practiced a lot of those principles. And good enough, Lester Sumner, I have his book. Okay, let me have that book, please. If you can lay your hands on it, it will help you to read this book, Courage to Conquer. It's actually a transcript of a message that he preached, Courage to Conquer. Very powerful book. There's no deep exegesis inside, though. The breaking down of scriptures and permutating and combining scriptures. No, there's nothing like that. He said, it's passing the sword to the last generation, Courage to Conquer. The man said some things in this book. He said, good enough. He just flipped over to that area as I was looking. He said, God does not take orders. He said, sure, he was honored when I fasted and prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but he did not like my attitude. I had tried to end the Holy Spirit. And another thing, which is one that I tell preachers, if you are believing what is wrong in your life, God will frustrate it so that you will not go and be preaching it. Because he said, well, God did not want me preaching such heresy. So he taught me this lesson in a dramatic way. Listen to that. He said, he let me go down the biblical checklist, do everything right, then demand my blessing. Does that sound like the gospel of faith a lot of us practice? He said, and he did nothing. He was not going to let a smart aleck teenager who thought he had all the answers go uncorrected. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? He said, he waited until he had my attention. He had humiliated me in front of scores of churches by giving old men, pretty girls, farm wives, car mechanics, and would-be assassins the gift of the Holy Spirit. All I got was nothing but divine silence. He was the one laying on the hands for information. He said, so now he had my attention. The Lord told me simply, since you did not receive the Holy Spirit your way, now I'm going to give you the Spirit to you as a free gift. says, suddenly the glory of the Lord came into that room, and I had never felt it before. He said, the Spirit of the Lord seemed to flow from the corner of the room until it touched the foot of my bed, my feet, and came up through me. As it did, I began to speak in a heavenly language I had never learned. He said, God had filled me by his grace and had demonstrated to me that I should never, never preach that his blessings can be conjured up through our efforts. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That some of those things that we preach and we call faith is nothing but arrogance and lack of knowledge. Whatever it is that you practice, God will look at the end of the day, he will win. But like I said, there's a baseline found in the life of Jacob. The young man had the passion for God. He loved God with all his heart. And that's one thing you can never... Once a man has that, once a woman has that, there's no failing. It only takes time. God will... Like this man, he will teach principles. He will apply it, nothing will happen. They will lay hands, like he said, on old men, they will get it. On fine girls, they will get it. On housewives, they will get it. Car mechanics, we heard him through the checklist. Out of frustration, he said, God... You know, I don't know why people don't quickly learn. You know why one of the reasons they don't quickly learn? They say it is Satan. It is the adversary. He's the one standing in front of them. God says, all right, we'll stay here. We'll go wait. We are not in a hurry, but you must learn this lesson. Look, my time is far gone. Let me just summarize the main point. The issue is that other gods will live your life. There is something you must do. Like I told you, it's a constant quest. Remember our message, first one for the year or the second one for the year? A personal quest for God. If you have that, you have the first thing held fast. You have no problem. But after that, God will take you, if necessary, through experiences. But you must learn. But the word that we're going to learn is that only God can take you to your inheritance. You don't need anything more than God. God will arrange events. Unfortunately, like I said, okay, I was saying something earlier about God, you know, people saying that God never says no, and they tell stories about people's lives that I said God can say no. Kenneth Hagin will tell, I was going to tell a story about Kenneth Hagin. I told you I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's message today, how to write your own ticket with God. That, you know, people don't understand some things. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that he never asked anything from God that he never got. All right? So people say, yes, anything I ask, I should get. But one question you never ask yourself was why the man never asked God for more than $150 a week. Are you catching the point? He had a run-down car. He didn't even think about asking for another one. Is there anything? I just claimed it and I received it. But all he used to receive was $200 a week because he would sit down, calculate some things. Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here. He worked with God to a particular level, and based on his understanding and relationship with God, God gave him certain manifestations. They may want to copy that manifestation. They want to now name a Jeep and claim it. The little boy is a year 3 student in UNEC. He wants to name a Hummer and claim it. So he names the Hummer. God says, no problem. The Hummer is yours. I'll give it to you in 25 years' time if it's still in vogue then. He said, God never says no. Yes, maybe he never says no. Some things he gives to you after you have died, he never says no. Are you getting my point? What I'm just explaining is this. Does have a personal walk with God. You get my point? He trains you by himself. He knows the experiences that you will go through. But one thing I say is that you must quickly learn your lessons. Know when something is not working. Know when God is saying, remember what I said? There is nothing wrong. You know, you are privileged to hear these things when you are young. Look, a 20-something-year-old man, young man who doesn't have money to eat. It is a good time to be hungry. Look, it's perfect too. It's perfect. When you're young and you're broke, she woke up in the morning and said, Lord, I thank you for this broken state. It's an honorable brokerage. You know what I'm trying to say? It's a 50-year-old man that shouldn't be broke. What's wrong with the 20? You see a little mechanic in the shop. He said, because like the guy who stole my compressor, they got things are hard. You should know that it's because things are hard that you have the privilege of laying a good foundation for the future. You should have left my compressor without stealing it. Then God will have said, despite the fact that things were hard, he didn't steal a compressor. Then you're a good guy. But once you justify wrong behavior by surrounding circumstances, you have lost the credit you'll have gotten from it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting my point? Look, God will take his time. He will teach each person. In the time of adversity, I keep on saying that's when God chooses people. In the fullness of affliction, he said, I have chosen thee. God will take you through experiences, but you will learn. God will always win. He will always win. Eventually, you will know that this one does not work. You know, you know, people say they hear God. Sometimes God will allow them to hear him very clearly, and they show that he didn't see anything. Kingsley, I'm sure you have heard God before. The Lord said, Slayo, that is thy wife. And the guy marry somebody else. Why you are looking at this? You are looking. You even attend the wedding. Then you know that that voice was not the voice of God at all. You quickly learn. You quickly learn. And when you hear voices three times, before you start hearing more, you quickly say, no more voices. This one, just give me a Bible. I will read it. I'm okay. That means he's a young woman. Say, God said this man is going to marry me. Okay. You are there. Nothing wrong with that. I told you, Jacobs, you can make mistakes. There's no problem. Ah, but the man has married. Now, you are still believing God. You should know God didn't say anything. And say, I thought I heard, Lord, I'm sorry. God said, fine, now, at least you know I don't talk all the time. Say, yes, now I know. You just carry your Bible and read. And all of that things shall be added unto you. Jacobs can make mistakes. You understand my point? God will correct Jacobs. But eventually, Jacob will definitely enter that inheritance. I hope you've learned something today. Have you learned anything from what I've said so far? Like my pastor in Lagos will say, I really don't know whether I've made any sense, but anyway, let's go home. What is it? Ken Hagee will say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I sure I'll preach myself happy. All right, let us pray.